Once again, good morning. Always keeping the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thanking God for His church. Thanking God for this congregation. Thanking God for the leaders here who gave me another opportunity to come out and speak to you again. I hope something said made you better for having come. May God bless our ears of hearing, hearts of receiving, and our wills to obey. This morning, our lesson is coming from the book of Acts, the 19th chapter, and the 15th verse. Acts, the 19th chapter, and the 15th verse. But I would like to read from Acts 1 all the way through, Acts 19 and 1 all the way through 16. Acts 19, 1 through 16. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, Verily I baptize with the baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the schools of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from this body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adore you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, one of Sceva, and a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said unto Jesus, Jesus I know, unto this man, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Verse 15. And the evil spirit said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are ye? My subject this morning is, who are you? Who are you? God gave Paul the power to do great miracles. People had took handkerchiefs and apron that had touched Paul's body and carried them to everyone who was sick and had evil spirits. All the sick people were healed and the evil spirits went out. Some Jewish men, son of Sceva, started going around trying to force out evil spirits by using the name of the Lord Jesus. They said to the evil spirit, "Come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." Sounds kind of odd, isn't it? It's like they didn't believe what they said that Jesus that Paul preaches. The evil spirit knew they didn't know God, therefore were not acting within the power of God. They were imitating Paul's preaching. They were pretending. They said, "I command you by the Jesus Paul preached to come out of you." Unless God calls and equips you to do it, the chances are that you will fail greatly. These Jews, God didn't call. These Jews were on their own. God empowered us to do his things. We don't empower God to do what we want to do. It's not what we want to do, but it's what God wants us to do. Paul glorified God, not himself. These boys glorified themselves and not God. The Spirit asked the question, "Who are you?" You see, they knew Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. In James, it says, "Thou believest, therefore, is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Mark 1:4, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And we know that they knew God. And we know that they knew Paul. How did they know Paul? Because Paul knew Jesus. But the question is, who are you? The boys didn't know because Jesus was not in them. And we see that they were they went up against something they didn't have the power to go up against, and they went to this evil spirit, and this evil spirit done something bad to them, ran them out naked. That was embarrassing. It reminds me about when I was in school, right? Like I said, I was bullied some, and I tried bullying, and it was just, boy, right? Looked like a little wimp, and I said, I'm gonna check, what bully, I'm gonna see what it feels like, Jerry, this little fella, I got him, I went to that boy. I shouldn't have done that. I did not know he was that strong. He looked like a little wimp, but he was just the right pickings for me to prove something to myself. And I went into him, and I shouldn't have went into him. I should have went on about my business and not even thinking about being a bully, but I did. And I'm just saying this to say that sometimes we challenge things that we're not ready to challenge. Who are you? Who are you? The devils knew who Jesus was. They knew who Paul was. But who are you? The Bible teaches us that Jesus abides in you and you in Jesus. That's the only way that we could overcome things. That he's in us and we in him. Other than that, we can do anything. We can't do nothing unless Jesus abides in us and we in him. But these boys didn't have Jesus in them. They had something else in them. Have you ever was asked the question, who you supposed to be? You know, who are you? You remember sometimes, you know, sometimes our family member or somebody that we grew up with, you know, and we done some things with, and now we're saved, and we go to them and we say, I've been saved, and this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done. I mean, God is great. God is good, and you should come on in too. And they get mad because you ask them that, like something wrong with them. Amen? Like something, like you, what you saying, something wrong with me? Who you supposed to be? I remember when, you know, and it ain't been that long ago when we used to travel. But now you Mr. Minister, you Mr. This, and you Mr. You know, you Mr. Righteous, right? Who are you supposed to be? Who are you? Who are you? The question is this: can we tell them? Can we tell them who we are? Do we know what to say? Do we know how to prove to them who we are? Is our fruit showing? Amen. Do we know who we are? Can we tell them that? Because it may, if it hadn't yet, it may be asked you, who are you since you've been saved? You all that now, right? You up in my face talking about I need, like something's wrong, something so wrong with me till I need to be saved. Who are you? Question, can we answer that? Can we answer that? Who are we? Can we give them scripture? Can we prove to them who we are? Is our fruit showing? Other question, if we can't answer, then why? Why can't we answer? Who are we? You see, these boys, they couldn't answer because they wasn't in God, and God was not in them. You see, these boys, they was looking to make some money, amen. They look at people as look at the at people as profit. They look at people as a meal ticket instead of of souls that need to be saved. They look at them as this is a way of me making some quick money, because they don't know no better. They believe in anything. I could give them a four-leaf clover and tell them to go home and you'll be rich tomorrow. They'll believe it. Amen? And this is what they've done. But God has something for them. God allowed that spirit to teach them a lesson. And if we're not ready, acting right, if we think that we're somebody and actually we know we're not, we go into some situations, it might tear us all to pieces. Amen. It's just like I said, that young boy, I just knew I could handle him. I knew it, you know, without a doubt. And if I had win, it would have made me look good, especially in front of the girls, showing off. You know, that would make me look good. You know, I'm a powerful, you know. But that boy showed me something. Help! Somebody saved me. And somebody did. And I was glad that they did. But these boys, they came in like they knew that what they were doing. And the heart wouldn't with God. And if we are out there and we are teaching classes, knocking on doors, and if our heart's not there, we're liable to meet a evil spirit out there. I remember when I was preaching at Jefferson Street, we was door knocking one Saturday. And Jerry, I came up on a guy, and he was a Mason, right? And I said, can we talk to you about Christ? And it was three of us, he tore us to pieces with his knowledge. It's like we came to him for some knowledge instead of him, we're going to him to give him some knowledge. This man was sharp. I mean, the only thing I could do is just listen to him. I learned a lesson that day. Are you with me? That be prepared. You know, prepare yourself before you go out there, because you don't know who you're going to run into. Some people are sharp. They are sharp with knowing God's word. And if we're not sharper, they could lead us out instead of us lead them in. And he was sharp. I mean, he was telling me some things. I know more about the Bible than you ever would know. He was saying things like, you know, why did you even come to me with this? You don't know who I am, right? And I was just listening. You know, I was shaking in my boots. Are you with me? This man, he had words. He had words for words. He was there. Amen? He was there, and I wasn't. And I went, when I left him, right, I was feeling kind of low, beaten down. So I understand these boys, these seven boys, you know, like I said, how they was beaten, and they ran out of that house naked. They was beaten down. And we have to, when we go out there, it may be somebody, family member maybe, who would ask the question, who are you? And we ought to be able to tell them who we are. You know, you know what I used to be, but who am I now? I've been sanctified, purified, justified in the Lord. Amen? I am a disciple of Christ now. Now, after you told them that, they might want you to prove it. Are you with me? So you have to back that up by the way you live, or the way I live. We've got to back it up. And every time they see us, they have to see somebody growing in Christ. You see? It ain't like we got to really prove nothing to them, but when we go out, we're going out to save some souls. And these boys, when they was exercising, they was doing some incantations and whatnot. It wasn't about saving souls. It was about meal tickets. Every man, every woman was a meal ticket to bring money in. Amen. It wasn't about souls to be saved. And that's what it was supposed to be about, souls to be saved. And I believe Jesus let that happen to them, you know, so they could see. Because we're going to see that they repented. They repented. These boys were trying to glorify themselves other than glorifying Christ. They were self-proclaimed until they had to prove it and could not. They look at the people as, like I said, as being meal tickets, instead of looking at people as being souls that need to be saved. Acts, the 16th chapter, 16-20. We read that all through Acts, it was people like this. It was people like this. Paul had a problem with a young girl who was a soothsayer. And Paul had to cancel that demon out, run that demon out of her. And it said that because she was working for some people, they got mad at Paul for doing this. Amen. Paul wasn't supposed to, you know, mess with his money. That's, you know how people are, you know, they get funny when you mess with their money. And she was casting out, she was doing incantations on people, You know, they call them the, these people, the palm readers that we see sometimes, right? You know, they can tell you things. They can tell you your future. They can tell you this and that and the other. They can tell you what to do, why to do it, and whatever, you know, so forth and so on, if you believe that. And I've learned something in life that if you really believe something, it seems like it's come true, you know, if you really believe it, right? But this girl, she was one of those soothsayers, and Paul cast, she was following Paul around, and Paul got tired of it, and he cast that demon out of her, and she was straight, and because she got straight, the people who she was working for, once again, they got mad at Paul and wanted to run Paul out of this place. Another time, we read in Acts the 8th chapter as Simon the sorcerer. You remember he wanted power like Peter had power to do certain things. And he offered Peter money to do this. He offered him money. And Peter says, the gift of God is not purchased with money. Amen? It's not purchased with money. The gift of God is purchased with something other than money. But this man, he wanted Peter to give him some of that power. He was willing to pay for this, and Peter said, "No, you need to repent." Now he was, and this Simon the sorcerer, he had become a Christian. You see, but he had it all backwards. He had it all wrong. And Peter said, "You have to repent. You have to repent." Verse 16. And the man in whom the spirit was leaped on overcame him and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known all over the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling in at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. After this happened, God's word was magnified because it was something else to hear that this had happened. And I believe people got afraid. They was afraid and they saw this and they heard about this and they wanted to get this thing right. And it says, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also used curious arts brought their books together and burned them. It was so powerful till the thing that they were doing, they had to put it aside. Now, the books that they burned was if they had sold it, they could make some money off it. Look what it says. And they counted the prices of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily the word of God grew and prevailed. They could have sold these books. They could have sold these things that they were using, but instead of selling them, they repented. They repented, and because they repented, then they burnt it. And today it says it was about today's price would be about $1 million. That's what I read up on. It says a piece of silver was a day's wager back in those days, and they burnt these books, that these incantation books and whatever they had, they burnt them. But the subject is, who are you? Who are you? If someone would come to you right now and say, "Who are you? Who you supposed to be?" Can you tell them? Can you say that I'm a child of God and hold up to that? Or can you? Can you say that I am a child of God? Can you prove it? And that's what this is all about, for us to know who we are. I am a child of God. Yes, I am, and I can prove it. Day by day, amen. Because I'm trying, I'm striving to do that which is right. I'm striving to do, I want to do that which is right in God's sight. Amen? In God's sight. And back in the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, I think it was, there was some stuff going on. Amen? Peter was preaching, and they didn't want Peter to preach anymore. They didn't want him to preach in that way anymore. But Peter said, we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. We gotta preach that way. We have to preach that way. And I think it was begin at verse Acts the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 33. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there upon one council of Pharisees named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. He had a reputation among all the people to command to put all the apostles forth for a little. So Gamaliel stepped in because these people was going to slay Paul, slay Peter. But he stepped in. He said, don't do that. He said, and he tell them why. And he said, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as to touching these men. Before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxation and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many obeyed him, were dispersed. Now, I say to you, refrain from these men, Peter, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. You see, if it's not of God, it will come to naught. It will come to naught. God has to be in it for it to work. He has to be in it. If he's not in it, it won't work. And the work that you do, if he's not in it, will come to naught. It will come to naught, to nothing, at all. Question is, who are you? Who am I? If somebody would come to Kenny Patterson and said, who are you? I'll have to tell them, I'm a child of God. I'm a disciple of God. I'm one who studies God's word, who trusts God with all my heart. And I want to get to heaven. And I want you to get to heaven. I'm out telling as many people as I can about heaven. Right? And he should see my fruits. He should see my fruits. God said, they will know you by your fruits. And anybody should see my fruits. They should see your fruits. Who are you? We are children of God, the Most High. We are people who want to get to heaven, who want to make our heaven our home, and we want you to make heaven your home. That's who we are. That's who we are. This is how we live. Who am I? But what if you can't answer that? What if you don't know who you are? That's the question. What if you really don't know who you are? And when the question is asked, you stutter. Well, what, who, you know, what if that happens? You see, that's what we ought to recognize in our lives in these days. Because these days, it's a lot of stuff happening. It's a lot of things happening out there, you know, that people need help. The Bible continuously say every day, for the labors are few, but the harvest is great. The fields are white with harvest. I mean, it's out there. You know, we have to bring them in and not look at them as being a meal ticket, but looking at them as being lost souls. Amen. If you are here and you're not a member of the church, there's some things that you must do. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That's a must. You must. You must repent of your way. You must. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must. You must stay faithful in God. Stay faithful in God, in His righteousness. His righteousness, not ours. Because if we stay in our righteousness will become to naught. It will come to nothing. We must worship. We must worship. It's not a matter of if we want to or not. We must worship. We must come together and worship. You know, the devil had his way for a while there with this COVID thing. It causes all of us to stay home, you know. And a lot of people got relaxed in that. But we must come together. It's a must come together. It's a must. It's not that something that we just, you know, probably want to do, but it's a must that we need to do, and we must do. You must give. You must commune. You must pray. You must teach. You must be taught. And above all those musts, you must love. If you're here and you are a member and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement, you may come at this time.